What's it called when a dog chases its tail? Maybe a big chunk of the stock market. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Wall Street has just opened on a week the guardians of interest rates at the Federal Reserve are set to gather in Washington. On Friday, the S&P 500 index closed at an all-time high, 2,500. This morning, the S&P is at 2,502, a rise of 2 points, or a tenth percent. The Dow Jones Industrial Average up 61 points, three-tenths percent. The NASDAQ is up 16 points, not quite three-tenths percent. A key benchmark for interest rates is up at 2.22%, with treasuries falling. Let's check in with economist Julia Coronado, founder of Macro Policy Perspectives in New York, for some of the drivers here.
I wish I could point you to wonderful economic data, but David, I can't. We had a pretty disappointing retail sales report for August, and that was even before the hurricanes hit. So I think that the picture for the U.S. economy is that it's doing fine, but it's not booming in the same way that the stock market is.
I heard a hint there. What about the global economy? I mean, China, there was some definite signs of life late last week. Maybe that's what we're seeing in these continued higher stock prices.
China's on an upswing, has been all year. So global companies in the S&P 500 are benefiting from that. That's part of the story. And I think we have to acknowledge that part of the story is there's been a massive shift to passive investing. A lot of investors are in index funds, and index funds kind of just chase their tail. They just follow the market. And until something really big happens to change that momentum, it becomes kind of a self-reinforcing thing.
Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives, thank you.
My pleasure.
Today, President Trump gets ready for his United Nations address tomorrow, with North Korea's delegation sitting in the front row. Also today, the Senate is scheduled to vote on the National Defense Authorization Act, which frames the spending priorities for America's military. As Marketplace's Kimberly Adams reports from Washington, one of those priorities is countering the threat from North Korea.
This bill, the NDAA, as it's called here in Washington, calls for almost $700 billion in military spending. Steve Bucci of the Heritage Foundation says with the latest round of missile launches,
this one is going to have some items in it to respond to North Korea that are literally immediate funding priorities,
including our missile defense systems, especially in the Pacific. Susanna Bloom used to advise the Pentagon on budget issues and is now with the Center for a New American Security.
The bill that the Senate is currently considering for the NDAA has a significant increase for the Missile Defense Agency of $630 million, more than the administration requested. Not all of that is relevant to North Korea, but a good chunk of it is.
She says the U.S. has been investing in defense capabilities in that part of the world for years. But now, Congress has a new sense of urgency to speed things up. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
The general election in Germany is Sunday. Angela Merkel is running for her fourth term as chancellor and is expected to win, although, with many undecideds, nothing is certain. Her main contender is Martin Schulz from the center-left Social Democrats. Immigration has dominated the political debate, but there's also the economy. Germany is like the U.S. in this regard. Overall growth masks some very weak spots. The BBC's Joe Miller reports from the Rhineland.
No matter how many times you've been to Cologne's Gothic Cathedral, stepping into its cavernous nave is a breathtaking experience. In many ways, this cathedral tells the story of life in the Rhineland, a place wedded to tradition, but not immune to the tides of the modern European economy.
Wenn die Menschen wieder das Gefühl zurückgewinnen, wenn wir ihnen das Gefühl wieder vermitteln können, dass wir...
One man who's making the most of his traditional working-class Rhinish roots is Angela Merkel's main challenger, the Social Democrat or SPD leader, Martin Schulz. Schulz comes from the heart of coal country, where the SPD still enjoys strong support. But as big cities such as Cologne and Dusseldorf thrive, former mining communities are struggling, and the SPD is struggling to talk to both places at the same time.
Please move off to the right in 3 kilometres. We had a lot of steel mining and coal mining and steel planting.
Alex Scherer is the local SPD organizer in Oberhausen, a city just an hour away from Cologne, but several decades behind North Rhine-Westphalia's modern metropolises.
It's a classical workers' region, so, and the SPD is a classical workers' party.
But the SPD has been losing support, not just in the run-up to the election and the polls, but also here in North Rhine-Westphalia. Why has the support waned?
I think the SPD is still strong in the big towns and lost a lot in the farmers' regions. See, the other side, Angela Merkel, she said nothing. We are fighting for the votes, but she said nothing. She said, everything is okay. And it isn't everything okay.
In Berlin, the SPD is keen to project an image of modern Germany. But the party, which looks set to lose ground in next week's election, may soon be asking itself whether the concerns of its traditional base still bear enough relevance to the rest of the country. In Cologne, I'm the BBC's Joe Miller for Marketplace.
And an international consortium of educators has come up with a new way to learn economics, either in the classroom or by yourself online for free. Marketplace.org, and then find the mentioned on-air tab. It's got the info, it's got links if you missed our coverage on the air. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.